From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the top. This week from the Herbst Theater in San Francisco, California, our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes a 16-year-old violinist from San Jose playing the opening movement of Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata, and a teenage ensemble from Los Angeles playing the final movement of the Ravel String Quartet. From the top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, San Francisco, we love you too. We love you too. Everybody loves San Francisco, but we love San Francisco because so many great young classical musicians are trained here. I mean, what is it about San Francisco that's... It's always been a hotbed of great classical music activity. Is it the interaction with the Pacific Rim culture? Is it the tradition, the civic tradition in San Francisco of acceptance and openness to new people and new ideas? Is it the long-standing support of the arts in general in San Francisco? It's the food. It's the restaurants, actually. Definitely the great food. No stomach grumbling, please. We'll get through this as quickly as possible. You'll make your dinner reservation. We want to thank our host for bringing us to this magnificent city, one of the longtime supporters of this show, Classical 102.1 KDFC. Okay, so let's welcome our first local kid, a terrific 16-year-old violinist who attends the San Francisco Conservatory of Music Preparatory Division. Please welcome Zenas Shu. Zenas, welcome to the stage. You and I have a very, very exciting opening piece for the program. Tell everybody what it's going to be.
We are going to play the first movement from Beethoven's Ninth Violin Sonata, which is also known as the Kreutzer Sonata.
Okay, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
Zenas Shu playing the opening movement of Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata. He comes to us from San Jose, California, and he's 16 years old, a student at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. That was fantastic. Loved playing that with you. Hey, congratulations, by the way. Zenas was just accepted to the Curtis Institute a year early, by the way, to study with Ida Kavafian. That's great news for you.
Thank you.
Zenas, tell us about the audition process at Curtis, because you describe it rather horrifically.
It is very much like a horror story. You go in there, seem very happy to finally do something that might change your life, and once you get in there, it's silent. It's strange, and it feels very much like a death chamber.
This is the Curtis Institute, this venerable place in Philadelphia.
Yes, grand school for musicians becomes, for one day, a death chamber.
Wow. That's rather dour. So what about the judges inside the room? Were they welcoming, so happy to have you with us sort of thing?
Of course they were welcoming, but It would just seem like they were a little tricky watching you, waiting for a mistake, ready to jump on you. Yeah. And so...
That's rough.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you got a reprieve, obviously, next year.
With some traumatizing moments, but...
I have a feeling you'll get over it. There's a lot that's worthwhile about the place. For a couple of years, you've known that you absolutely, positively have to be a musician. Talk about how that decision was made.
Well, I have a very inspirational teacher who also has a teacher. Well... Yes, he has a teacher. And his teacher, Ms. Camilla Wicks, gives me lessons once in a while. And so during one lesson, I just had this random occurrence that just made me think I couldn't do anything else but violin. And so my teacher's teacher basically inspired me to become a violinist.
That's nice. That's a wonderful moment. And more recently, you learned something very, very important for your particular future as a musician. Don't over-practice. When did this happen? What brought this on?
I participated in a camp called the New York String Orchestra Seminar, and we had pretty much a 7 to 9 hour practice every day. Mm-hmm. And so we had breaks, and they encouraged us to take advantage of the breaks and not keep practicing. But I had my Curtis auditions coming up. I already had pre-trauma. And so... I practiced during breaks, and 2 or 3 days before our 2 concerts at Carnegie Hall, I hurt my arm.
Pretty badly. I mean, it was
just every time I raised my arm, it would just start jabbing at me.
And you have to raise your arm occasionally on the violin, I hear. It hurts when I do this. Don't do this. What are you going to do? I understand that, you want to send this message.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sure that everyone else wants to practice a lot, and so there's a time when you realize that you've practiced enough, and you have to let it go.
Well, I know you want to help these other teenage musicians from falling into this trap, and so that's why it's time for this top 10 list. These are the top 10 signs that you're over-practicing. Are you ready, Zenas?
I'm all set.
Okay, number 10.
Your fingertips resemble raw hamburger.
Number 9.
You see musical notation in the random patterns of breakfast cereal.
Number 8.
The family dog develops a mysterious palsy.
Oh, like those New Yorker cartoons, that dog.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Exactly.
Wow. I'm practicing too much. Number 7.
Your violin is too hot to touch, even after several hours.
Number 6.
Most from the top kids seem like total slackers.
Number 5.
You think the dishwasher is a quarter tone flat.
It's pretty far gone. Number 4.
You can't wave hello because it hurts too much.
Oh, yes. Number 3.
You've been simultaneously diagnosed with agoraphobia and obsessive compulsive disorder.
Number two.
Your mother is constantly quietly weeping.
And the number one sign that you've been over practicing.
Your scary violin hickey has grown to the size of a hockey puck.
So, Zenith, no over practicing next year at Curtis.
Okay,
promise?
Yes.
I'm sure you'll be doing well. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Zenith. Zenith Shu, 16-year-old violinist from San Jose, California.
Take a break from all that practicing and head on over to our website to download an application to be in our show. Go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Hancock Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackhancockfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Next up, we leave the Bay Area to hear a fantastic 17-year-old clarinetist from Costa Rica studying presently in the U.S. at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Please welcome one of those Jack Kent Cook young artists Joanne just mentioned, Gabriel Campos. Gabriel, why don't you introduce the piece we're going to be playing together?
We will be playing by French composer André Messager, Soul of the Conquerors.
So how did this piece come about? There's a purpose, there's a design behind it.
I've heard for many years this piece was used as the test exam piece in the Paris National Conservatory. And basically, if you were able to play the piece correctly, you would get your diploma, your artist diploma from the conservatory.
We'll hope for the best. It's a very tough jury here. Thank you. our clarinetist, the 17-year-old Gabriel Campos. He comes to us from Costa Rica. He's presently studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Upper Michigan. Well, I think you passed the audition. Great piece, wonderfully performed. I love your poise and the sound that you get. You come from a musical family, your mother and father.
Right, my father is a jazz drummer and my mom is a jazz vocalist. So since I was born, I've been listening to Charlie Parker's music, Thelonious Monk, kind of Utterly, and all kinds of jazz artists that you can imagine.
So how do you come to play classical clarinet? What brought you to that?
I don't know. I thought maybe something different. I started at the conservatory. My dad wanted me to have the basic knowledge, and I just went for music.
Yeah. And how does your dad, for instance, feel about you taking the classical road?
Right. We argue a lot. He says I don't have swing, and then I said you don't have rhythm, and then he says you don't understand the music, and I said well you don't even read music, so what are you talking about?
You obviously have great parents, but you were saying sort of the relationship between kids and elders in Costa Rica is basically more respectful of adults than you see here.
Right. What I've noticed is that since this is a great country that has great opportunities for kids, everything is pretty much for a young student. He has it already. And many times kids maybe take things for granted from their parents. I think they shouldn't forget how important is what they have, and that they should be really thankful, because in many countries like mine, mm-hmm. we don't have the resources and opportunities to achieve our goals and dreams. So I think it's always important for all the young people in this country to always remember what is it that they have. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Well, Gabriel, it's very nice to have you as the reality check in terms of, not taking certain things for granted. So thank you for that. Gabriel, speaking of your worldview, you have a very clear picture of what you want your future to be.
Right. I do want to keep a very focused goal, which is I want to play in a major symphony and teach, and I specifically want to get married and have two kids and a dog.
We all join in hoping all of that and more for you.
Thank you very much,
Gabriel. Really nice to be with you. Gabriel Campos, 17 years old from Costa Rica, attending the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Next up, some kids from Southern California, from the Colburn School in Los Angeles. We have violinists Riho Yu, 17 years old, and Rachel Sandman, 16 years old. Violist Jocelyn Pan, also 16, and our cellist is 18-year-old Andrew Hayhurst. Together, these young musicians make up the Colburn School Honors Quartet. Please welcome them. Riho, you have a rousing final movement of one of our favorite string quartets. Tell us what it's going to be.
Yes, we're going to play the fourth movement of the Ravel String Quartet in F major. Thank you.
Colburn School Honors String Quartet, Riho Yu, 17 years old, and Rachel Sandman, 16 years old, violins, Jocelyn Pan, violist, 16, and Andrew Hayhurst, 18-year-old cellist. Riho, you were saying that Rachel is a very, very honest colleague about how a performance
went. Yes, Rachel is very honest.
So she comes backstage after you've done a concert, and what's the first thing she says?
Well, it's not the first thing she says, but she does tell you how well you played or how badly you played.
So. I'm not brutally like harsh or anything, but I just like, you know, because some other people, they don't tell you if you need improvement.
Yeah, usually.
I don't mean it like that.
Really? Well, usually friends will tell you, you know, that it's good. They don't really tell you specifics, but Rachel does tell you which parts you could do better.
In a very nice way.
Uh-huh.
But like, after the concert, I mean, at least first thing, you know, nice dress, or, you know, just...
No?
That's totally not true. No. Plus, well, I already know Riho's whole wardrobe, but...
Okay.
But I figure, okay, after the concert, you're like really pumped up, you got all this adrenaline going.
Right.
So it's a good time to, you know, let them know how they played, because they're not going to take it like so... You know, you
because then when
adrenaline,
you stab
like,
them
oh,
in
okay,
the back,
whatever.
The heart rate will be so fast that the blood will pump
everywhere.
Yeah,
of course.
Also, Rachel, speaking of which, critique your own performance. How did this go?
It went okay.
Really?
it was good. We've played better, but it was pretty good.
Was it pretty good? Oh, I'm glad to hear it. This, to be fair, though, this particular movement, this piece is sort of a minefield. It has a totally crazy tempo marking. I mean, does it actually has a metronome mark?
We originally thought it was 80, but then someone told us it was 84.
84, which is even faster.
Yeah, we're playing it at probably like 72, maybe.
Well, come on, you know, you step up to the plate. What gives? How come? What's so is it tiring to play? Is it challenging to play it fast?
Yeah, definitely.
You just drink caffeine. Drink coffee.
So caffeine. I'm wondering whether Ravel had in mind playing this at higher altitudes. Maybe in the Pyrenees, the bow will move faster and not be quite so tiring.
You don't have enough oxygen, though.
That's right. Well, you know, go, you know, train at Aspen. Here's a good idea, right? Train at Aspen.
Excellent idea.
Play it in the Pyrenees. It'll be fine. Two of you have very strong connections to the Los Angeles Philharmonic. Andrew, our cellist.
Yeah, my dad plays viola. He's played about 20 years in the LA Phil, so it's been kind of cool growing up in that environment.
And so going to concerts, I imagine, is one thing, but mm-hmm. I mean, what about music around the house? Was that a nice thing to have?
Yeah, like sometimes he'll have a chamber music concert, so he'll have rehearsals at our house, and it's cool to hear that.
Really great to have music in the home. And your mom is a flutist.
Yeah, she plays a...
And are you guys going to play together at some point?
Yeah, in a couple of weeks we have a Roussel trio for cello, flute, and viola. Yeah.
Very, very nice. And Jocelyn, you've been inspired by the concertmaster of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. You've worked with him extensively.
Well, my teacher actually is also in the LA Phil. Her name's Ingrid Hupman. And, the concertmaster, Alexander Traeger, I worked under him at American Youth Symphony and Crossroads School. Mm-hmm. And I just love working under him because it's really exciting. And I'm always on the edge of my chair during rehearsal.
He's just a very passionate kind of guy that way. Really interesting musician. And while we're talking about LA, Riho, what's your obsession, would you say?
I like to watch sports. I like to watch the Lakers.
The Lakers? I
like Kobe, yes.
Kobe Bryant is your favorite?
Yes.
What is it about him? I mean, do you find him inspiring or just good to look at, or what's the idea?
I really think he's inspiring because he really gets his game face on when he needs to, and he's really stepped up his playing, which like everyone can do and apply it to anything they want to do. So like, he really works hard.
It's true. It is inspiring. Riho, have we got a surprise for you?
You do?
Mm-hmm. Our 15-year-old roving reporter, Chailey Smith, has now joined us on stage. Chailey, tell Riho what I'm talking about.
Well, I have been able to arrange for a live interview with Kobe Bryant.
Chailey, don't take this the wrong way, but why would he give an interview from the top? I mean, the show isn't exactly SportsCenter.
Well, it turns out that he's a huge fan of classical music.
That's right, with an absolutely encyclopedic knowledge of French Impressionist music.
Let's bring him up now. He's courtside at the Staples Center. Mr. Bryant, thanks for joining us. I hope you were able to hear the quartet's performance over all that noise. What did you think of it?
It left me absolutely speechless. I mean, that's absolute perfection. That's the hand of God at work.
Wow, I'm glad you liked it so much. Now, Mr. Bryant, you couldn't see these kids performing, but I gotta say, they look good. As you know, the Eroica Trio is criticized for looking too sexy on stage. Some people think that takes away from the music. Where do you stand on the issue?
You know what, though? I can't lie. It adds a certain flavor. You know what I mean? If you look good, the shoes look nice. Just the whole vibes, the whole swagger that comes along with it. And that definitely plays a part in it.
Is it true that you've insisted that the Lakers blast bootleg recordings of Riho's violin recitals at practice sessions? Is that just for your benefit?
Well, you know what? It actually turned into more of a motivational thing for us as a team. It's something that motivates all of us, and we all kind of feed off of that, and you know, we utilize it as an energy source.
All right, well, I know you've got to get back to the locker room. Thanks so much for talking with me.
You know, it's really special and extremely humbling to be in the same company, idolizing those guys and learning a lot from them.
Well, I know they've learned a lot from you too, Mr. Bryant. Thanks again.
Very insightful and high praise indeed for you guys from Kobe Bryant. Good for you. I mean, you guys don't need an endorsement deal with Nike to impress me. You played quite wonderfully. I want to thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. The Colburn School honors string quartet. Riho Yu, Rachel Sandman, Jocelyn Pan, and Andrew Hayhurst, ages 16 to 18.
Tune in to our new television series, From the Top, live from Carnegie Hall, on PBS stations all across the country. Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're coming to you from the Herbst Theater in San Francisco, California. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Our San Francisco appearance is presented by Classical 102.1, KDFC, with financial support from California Closets. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Now let's meet another very young musician who studies at the San Francisco Conservatory Preparatory Division. From Mill Valley, please welcome 12-year-old pianist Rieko Tsuchida. Rieko, I understand, I remember you are not the first Tsuchida we've had on the show.
No.
Was your sister here?
Mm-hmm. My big sister, Mayumi, yeah. Played in Palo Alto with her trio
The show. That's right. And was your sister an influence on you starting on the piano?
Yes. When I was really small, I always listened to her playing piano. And I used to be playing violin, but I really liked the way the piano sounded, especially when my sister played. So I started playing.
Well, let's hear now what Tsuchida, sister number two, has to offer. What are you going to play for us?
I'll be playing Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody number 11 in A minor.
Thank you.
We heard 12-year-old Rieko Tsuchida. She comes to us from Mill Valley, California, just across the bridge, playing Liszt so wonderfully. I love how you get the cimbalom at the beginning. So, as they say, rhapsodic. Really nice. I hear you're a good joke teller as well as a wonderful pianist. You've got
Can
a favorite joke,
joke
for us?
Yes. Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The interrupting cow.
Interrupting.
Moo!
I so totally fell for that. I totally walked right into that. Was that why you were late to your master class with Long Long, telling jokes?
No. First, what happened was I went to the San Francisco Conservatory of Music because that's where I thought the master class was, and I made sure to come a little early. And the security guards tell us that there's no master class there, and so then they tell me, why don't you go to Herb's Theater? So I came running down here in my dress and shoes, and then I find out it's not here either. So we finally, after we called about 10 different places, we found out it was at Sherman Clay.
Sherman Clay. Well, but you did arrive eventually, out of breath, I'm sure, but what happened?
I was a little late because I was running around, and I walked in, and he said, "You're late."
Was he really mad, or was he just
No, he
around?
Was just joking around.
Just joking around.
He was very bad.
So, I mean, you had to sit down and play right away? How was that?
It wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, I thought it went well.
And I'm curious, what kinds of things he worked with you on?
He gave me some very good suggestions, like when you're playing, it's a performance, and you need to communicate with the audience and entertain the audience.
All right. I'll take note of that myself. Thank you. Masterclasses, I think, it sounded to me like Long Long's masterclass was quite pleasant, and he was nice and had a lot of good things to say. And how about the camaraderie at those masterclasses? You get to see any friends or people you know?
Yeah, everyone's really friendly. The people who are in the masterclass, we talk about music and what we like to do.
And stuff like that. But, I mean, masterclasses... Competitions not so much as social events?
No.
No?
Not at all.
How so? I mean, do you make friends?
The atmosphere, it's really tense, and no one really talks to each other. Mm-hmm. No one makes an effort to make conversation with each other. And the judges can also be pretty subjective on what they like and what they want to hear.
True.
But the scariest thing is the stage mother deal. Stage mothers.
That's right. Actually, yeah, you've hit it on the head. Chaley, you're a serious violinist yourself. I'm guessing you can relate to this whole stage mother thing?
Can I relate? Chris, be serious. I see stage mothers all the time. But you want to know what's really amazing?
What?
Well, you know how I went to London last summer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we went to see Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. Every tourist does that, right? And it was totally awesome. But here's the amazing part. Guess what their new exhibit is?
No idea.
Come on, Chris. It's a Hall of Horrors type thing.
You've still lost me. Don't know.
Get this. It's stage mothers through the ages. Okay. So right inside the door is a fully animatronic reconstruction of one of the earliest known stage mothers, Cro-Magnon Sue.
My son sound good bashing big rock with club, no? Give him biggest piece of mammoth shank.
Then you go into the Age of Enlightenment, and there's Esmeralda of Leipzig, a Baroque era stage mother.
Goldberg variations, Schmalberg variations. I don't care what he's writing. He can make time to hear my little Vic.
And finally, there's the modern day stage mother.
Admissions at sanfranciscoconservatory.edu. I believe you have made a serious mistake, as you appear to have rejected my daughter, Becky. Perhaps you are unaware that her audition was in a room with a completely unacceptable level of humidity. I hope I don't seem manipulative when I tell you that she's threatening to kill herself right now. As I said, I'm not trying to be manipulative, but I thought you should know. I eagerly await your revised decision.
Thank you. I don't need to visit that exhibit. I live there.
Oh, Chris. Well, wouldn't you like to see it, Rieko?
Never.
Well, thank you, Rieko.
Thank you.
Rieko Tsuchida, 12 years old, from Mill Valley, California.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
We've got a cello-piano duo to round out our show. Our cellist is Julian Schwartz, 16 years old, from Seattle, Washington. And our pianist is Daniel Walden, 18 years old. He comes from across the bay in Berkeley. Please welcome them. Gentlemen, so I'm imagining between Seattle and Berkeley, rehearsals are kind of hard to get together. Where did you guys meet?
Well, we met in Aspen. We were both at the Aspen Music Festival last summer, and I went to the Aspen Music Festival eager to play anything, play chamber music, play an orchestra, play solos, and so I really wanted to play all the great sonata repertoire for cello and piano, which there is tons. So as it happens, my roommate was Danny.
How about rooming together at Aspen? Wasn't there sort of an odd couple sort of vibe to the whole situation?
Some people say so, I guess. One day I came back from, I don't know where I was, and I saw my bed had been made, and Julian seemed to have done it for me, which yes. it was wonderful. It's like having a maid or something like that.
Not really.
But
did he, Danny, tell the truth? Was he laying your clothes out for you for the morning?
No, not that far. Everything had to be a 90-degree angle, so all my books were perfectly aligned.
I'm not crazy.
No, I totally hear the whole feng shui thing going there, Julian.
Yeah.
I totally
understand. We rearranged our room quite a bit.
It's quite right. I think it would be nice to close the program with a little cello and piano music. Julian, what are you and Danny going to play?
We're going to play the first movement of the Richard Strauss Sonata for Cello and Piano, Opus 6 in F major. And he was 18 and 19 when he wrote this work around, Danny's age and my age, so it's quite youthful.
It's a lot of fun, and it's really easy to sympathize with the energy, I think partially because we're the same age as when he wrote it himself.
Ending the show with an appropriately youthful energy. Gentlemen, take the stage.
Thank you.
I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Julian, Danny, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Venieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Kim Razeman, and our technical director is Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Lighting designed by Tori Sweetser. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston.